This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Hello, everybody. This is Zoe. I'm your host of Green Talks, a weekly radio show. We talk about some of the sustainability initiatives that are going on around our campus that have been funded by the Student Sustainability Council. Today, we're going to talk about a really cool project, so I'm super excited about that. I am going to ask some of the people who are joining us in the studio today to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Tiana Tay. I'm a student here at UK, and I'm the Assistant Director of Sustainability for SGA.
Hi, I'm Cameron Luker. I'm also a student here at UK, and I'm the Sustainability Coordinator for the Student Government.
I'm Shane Tedder. I am the Sustainability Coordinator for the University and Staff Advisor to the Student Sustainability Council.
We have some very special guests today, too.
Isabel.
I'm Pax.
Awesome. Okay, so you guys are here to talk about a project that's going on, and I'll let you explain what that is. So do any of you guys want to introduce our listeners to what the project is?
This is a fun partnership with the bottle filling stations that we're here to talk about today. It's an exciting one. We've been, I guess, for about the last 9 years expanding bottle filling stations on campus. They started in the Student Center as an initiative of students who were working here in 2010, and the campus kind of went bonkers for them, and they fit really nicely with our sustainability initiative, so we started finding ways to push it out, and the SSC was an early funder of those efforts and put in a bunch of bottle filling stations in Whitehall Classroom Building and the Johnson Center to get started. And over the years, we've integrated them with our construction standards, and anytime we renovate a space, we look to go back. We were able to partner with EDR, our housing partner, to make sure that all of our new residence halls have them. And so now we feel like we're kind of in the end game, I guess, of we know there are probably some spots out there that still need them, but it's not easy to identify that without the help of the campus. So I think that, Tiana, that's maybe where you come in.
Yeah, so SGA joined on because we recognize that there is a need to reduce plastic, and we think that, personally, I think that the biggest problem with sustainability is accessibility. I think that students, if they know that there's something out there that they can do to reduce their impact, their carbon footprint on the earth, and it's easy for them to do, I think that is just, that was golden for us. So what we're doing with the SSC and the Office of Sustainability is we'll be releasing a poll on our Instagram for UKSGA, and we'll be asking students for some input about where they think they see some need for some water bottle filling stations. And we would like to get as many people involved and as many departments involved so that we can really hone in on where campus needs it.
And I think we've got funding to probably do 10 or 12 of them. Mm-hmm. We've got the physical plant division and campus facilities is another key partner in this. They've agreed to match the SSC's funding. And then you all have brought some of your own funding to this to make it possible for us to pick 10 or 12 locations and get some new ones installed.
Cool. So I think probably everybody knows that one of the great things about water fountains is that it can help to reduce the use of single-use plastics. So how would something like a water bottle, like a plastic water bottle that you might throw away after one use, negatively impact the environment?
Plastics, like the ones that we use in disposable water bottles, are made from petroleum, which present a whole bunch of environmental issues, including the release of greenhouse gas. We've released 2.5 million tons of CO2 through the production of water bottles.
Sorry. We may be having a mic issue. Let's try this one.
Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Perfect. So the plastics that we use in making disposable water bottles are made from petroleum, which present quite a few environmental issues, including the release of greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide, exactly 2.5 tons about every year, which is just terrible for climate change, which is something that we all need to take apart and trying to curb. And it requires about 17 million barrels of oil every year. And that's stuff that we could be using towards helping developing nations, not necessarily something that we don't really need, which is carrying them around for water.
Cool. All right. So that's good to know that when we use those reusable stations, we're making a real impact, at least avoiding some of that negative impact.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I like the best about them is, you know, plastic water bottles have really exploded as a commodity in my lifetime, I think as a convenience, right? And there's definitely a health benefit to being able to conveniently grab water instead of conveniently grab a soda. So that's an upside. And so what I love about these bottle filling stations is they bring the convenience of free, cold, filtered water to almost every building on campus right now. And so the only behavior change that's necessary is just to get in the habit of carrying a water bottle. And there are plenty of fall orientation events where water bottles are being given away. We gave away one to every first-year student this year as part of our Pass on Plastic campaign. And so we think that part's been made easy, too. So I think hopefully these bottle filling stations have eliminated that barrier of, well, it's just not convenient for me to do this because there's no place for me to fill it up with water that I like the taste of. And right. So hopefully we've addressed that.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of these stations is they're just so easy. Because I've always carried a reusable water bottle with me, and it's been hard to tilt my giant water bottle down, my Nalgene for 32 ounces, into a tiny stream. So, these machines make it so much easier for us to carry out and carry through with our promise to reduce plastic. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to engage students in sustainability efforts without even, without even making it difficult for them.
And I think another thing to keep in mind is the cost. It probably costs about $1 to get a disposable water bottle. And you can get a reusable water bottle, maybe $5-$10, if you can't just grab one for free like we were giving them out earlier. So a lot of times we think that to live sustainably means that we need to spend more money, and this really goes against that. It's actually more convenient and cheaper to live sustainably in this case.
I don't know if you guys know the answer to this question, but do you have any estimate of like how much somebody can save over the use of their their reusable water bottle?
Yeah, I actually did the math on this. The average bottled water costs $1.45 in the United States. And if you drink the recommended 3 liters of water a day, only from disposable water bottles, which is probably a little unlikely, but just to prove a point here, you would spend $3,000 annually. So
that's a lot of dollars,
especially when you can get a reusable water bottle for maybe even free. And that's a lot of money that you're saving, also having a huge impact on the earth, a positive one at that.
Yeah. Do you happen to know what the life cycle impact is of a bottle of water? You kind of mentioned earlier, like some of that. I know there was some research out of Wisconsin, but I don't think that ever got finished. Do we know?
No.
Okay. So it's bad, but we can't quantify it. That's okay.
So there's a lot of water that goes into even making them. And I've seen the stat that it takes twice as much water to make one of those plastic bottles as it does to fill it up, just through the kind of the industrial processes of manufacturing that bottle. So there's some water savings there. But in terms of overall life cycle cost, I'd be shooting in the dark with that one. Pax, okay. Isabel, do you all know?
Nope.
Nope. All right, there's our scientific opinion. Thank you. So over the past 8 years, the SSC has contributed to this project. So do you think that's made, like, just financially or overall an impact on the ability of this project to continue?
Without a doubt. I think the first fountains that came in, I mentioned, were part of our student center prior to this incredible renovation. But if it hadn't been for the SSC's funding, I don't think that the broader campus would have been able to gain the experience with these bottle filling stations in a way that led to them being integrated as a standard practice for us. I mean, really our administration and facilities and planning was able to see that this is something that students, faculty, and staff really value. And so as we've built new buildings or developed new construction standards, we've written them in there. And I think that realizing that value might not have happened, definitely wouldn't have happened as quickly if the SSE hadn't been willing to make the investment and make it a zero cost thing for the university in the first few years to be able to expand these.
Okay, cool. So you already mentioned some of the ways that students can save money by using reusable bottles and by accessing these fountains. But overall, how would you say are the biggest ways that this project addresses the three pillars of sustainability? And our listeners like have heard us talk about this before, but those three pillars would be things like the economic impact, the social impact, and the environmental impact when you're thinking about a project.
Yeah. So as we've already talked about, the economic impact is, you know, $3,000 a year for a college student is pretty it's pretty big. And so if you can cut down on that and get a free water bottle, I know, like Shane said, the Office of Sustainability gave them out within UK student government. We give them out as promotional items. So to save money and help the environment at the same time, I think that's just like a beautiful kind of marriage between two efforts. And then for the social impact, you know, I think, like I said earlier, accessibility within the sustainable world is something that I think is really crucial, and that we're at a good pivotal point to show students that being sustainable doesn't mean that you have to buy organic or that you have to spend all this money, or that you have to sacrifice certain things that have already been integrated in your life. But within Cameron and I, within student government, we recognize that there is this need for sustainability to be at the forefront of the mind of college students. So what we did is I kind of got the SGA exec team was very great in working with me to create this new position, the Director of Sustainability. And we did that because we want to show that sustainability is economic, it is social, and it is the environment, but it is also how we relate within our communities, our ecosystems, within policy. Sustainability can be integrated into everything. And these water bottle filling stations are just a great example about how it can be something so easy as implementing this new system. And I think it's important to recognize that at sometimes it is you do have to put up money for it at the forefront. But like Cameron said, that's nothing compared to the amount of money that you will spend if you don't engage in these sustainable activities. So I think it's crucial for students to recognize that there are very easy ways to be sustainable. So if you can give up a plastic straw, if you can forego that kind of luxury, then you can carry around a reusable water bottle. And at every corner in Whitehall, there will be a filling station for you, so it's convenient and it's easy. So I think that's important for the social aspect of it. Yeah,
plastic water bottles also don't stay cold as long, I feel,
right?
Like that bothers me. So all right, so kind of like also going to the social side, are there like health benefits to drinking more water? And do students who have a reusable water bottle, do you think they drink more water, or do you think that these stations allow them to?
I would say definitely, even if you are using a disposable water bottle, if you're refilling that at least helps to mitigate some of the issues, because you're not just buying a new one every single time, and you are staying more hydrated because it's easier. And also, just to throw this out there, there are some health costs to go along with disposable water bottles, because they're made from a pretty cheap plastic, and that has been linked to some health issues, and that can be mitigated by using your own water bottle, which will last longer, and also just help you stay healthier. And staying hydrated is very important to overall health as well. So I think we really need to bring that in. It's not just about environmental health, it's also about human health too. And I think in this case, they're very, very interrelated.
Yeah, and you know, our bodies are 60% water, give or take. And when you don't drink enough water, then your mood changes, your ability for cognitive processes will change. So if you drink more water, it's likely that your academic life will increase because you'll be able to concentrate more. And then also it's important, you know, it curbs your appetite. So sometimes if you think you're hungry, you might just be thirsty. So it's important to drink that water and really nourish your body for it. Because, you know, your body can't do anything good for you if it's not being nourished.
Okay, cool. Well, we are going to talk some more about the benefits of the water bottle stations that have been put in on campus after this quick break. Maybe take this as a chance to drink some water. We are back. We're talking to some folks from UK's bottle program or bottle station program, and they're going to talk some more about the initiative that they're working on and some of the things that are involved with that.
Thanks, Zoe. Well, this is Shane Tedder, Campus Sustainability Coordinator. I'm excited to be part of this partnership with student government and the physical plant to fund 10 or 12 more bottle filling stations on campus. We were talking in the first half of the show that over the last few years, we've taken a lot of efforts to get these bottle fillers out there in places where people need them. And we think we've done a good job. We probably got 150 different bottle fillers out there in 60 or 70 buildings. But we know there's some spots where it would just really make people's lives easier, and it would make it easier for them to embrace waste reduction through carrying their own water bottle if they had them. So we came up with this idea of throwing it out there to the campus and saying, where do you need these fountains? And asking people to submit locations. And I think we're going to launch that.
Yeah, let's do it Monday.
We're going to launch on Monday, which is exciting. Well, I think we're going to launch it on Instagram.
Yes.
Is that where we're going
to
do it?
Yes. So you all can go to UKSGA on Instagram. We'll put it up on our story, and it'll be one of those things where you can slide up and give your input. So if you are in the ChemFizz building and you think that they need a water bottle filling station, you just write ChemFizz, and we'll take that. And we'll collect all the suggestions, and then later on in the week or the next week, we'll release a Twitter poll. And we're kind of, the idea right now is to break it off into different sections of campus and then have people vote based on what they suggested and then what they think that would be best. But yeah, so it is also, we are putting in 12 in the library. So that will be starting here shortly. So the library will be not one
covered,
of the options.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, putting these things in is, it seems like it would be pretty straightforward, but sometimes like a location might just be cost prohibitive because of the plumbing, electrical, masonry, and carpentry work. So what we're going to do is take a look at everybody's suggestions with the great folks at the physical plant and make sure that the ones we put back out for people to vote on are ones that we can do cost effectively. And so, you know, once we've filtered for just outliers in terms of cost, then we'll put that back out there and run the voting and then hopefully install the top 10 or 12 vote getters by the end of the semester.
Cool. So that's a good thing to be aware of. So listeners to the show can check out those pages if they're interested and give their input. I think that's a very democratized process that you guys have going on. So what do you think were some of the biggest challenges that you've faced while implementing this program?
Well, this program really didn't have many challenges. At this point, we're 10 years into using these on campus and people love them. I think the challenge that we face right now is just strategically, where's the best place to put them? I mean, we've got them out there in a lot of places, but and so I guess that was the challenge, is we had some funding. We were trying to figure out what's a great way to figure out where these are really going to get used. And so this idea of throwing it out to the campus and letting you all decide where they should go was definitely, I think, a home run on your all's part. It's a great idea to do it that way. Early on, cost was a challenge. And many thanks to the foresight of the SSC to alleviate that barrier by funding. I think the SSC provided $30,000 or $40,000 over 3 or 4 years to really get the campus introduced to this as a as an amenity.
Yeah, and I think right, like that's a brilliant problem to have, right? That we recognize this need, and really our biggest problem is knowing where we should put them, and knowing that a lot of people want them in a lot of different places. So I think that this was a very easy project for people to get behind, because even if they weren't sustainably minded, they were, you know, conveniently minded, because these stations are very convenient. So within student government last year, we put up around $48,000 for 12 installments in the library. So that should be starting soon. And I think that really connecting with all these different groups, so PPD, us, SSC, the university as a whole, I think everybody is on the same page regarding how this is effective and how it can really work to mitigate our plastic issue. So, you know, our problem's a good one.
Okay, so kind of on that same note, those were maybe, even if they're good problems, some of the challenges that you maybe faced, but what would you guys say, and you can each respond to this if you'd like, was your kind of proudest moment of this, or the thing that you think like really stands out to you as the best part of the project, if you can pick?
Yeah, so for Cameron and I, since this position on SGA is a new one, I think the best part of this is that when I first started thinking about what the position of a director of sustainability within student government would look like, at the very forefront, which I've mentioned this already, is accessible sustainability. So I think, you know, a proud moment for this is just recognizing that there are things that we can do and that we can fix as students on campus that promote our beliefs and that are good overall. Like, there's not a lot of downside to this. There's an economic benefit. There's an environmental benefit. There's a social benefit. So I guess the best part about this whole project is the recognition that sustainability is easy if you work for it, and if you can really get creative with how you can become more waste-free. So whether that's foregoing plastic straws or using reusable utensils while you're on campus, I think that's the beauty of this. And we're in a new age where sustainability isn't just about the environment. And that's something that I like to focus on a lot, especially within this position, is that it's a multifaceted kind of issue that a lot of people in every kind of discipline can address.
I would say my proudest moment from this is I'm pretty new on campus. I'm only a sophomore. But these water bottles are something I use, or these water bottle stations are something I use since day one. And I think it's so cool to be able to be in the process to help get more of those, so that there's just greater accessibility. And I think that I'm proud that you can look around and there are a lot of them already. And I think that's great. But of course, there's always room for improvement. And I have walked around and seen some places that we could use them. So I want to give out a challenge. Find some good places and let us know. And we'd love to get some new stations in there for you.
I think the thing that I like best about this particular partnership was just how excited each partner was to come on board. I mean, it took about a 20-second conversation with our assistant director for the facilities management, Phil Tackett. He was like, yeah, that sounds great. We'd love to be part of that. And then, you know, the conversation that you and I had was kind of win-win-win the whole time. It's like, yeah, let's just make it as cool as it can be, you know? Yeah. So I think that part is super exciting, and it really does just complement a wide range of some pretty widespread efforts to make it super easy to reduce the amount of waste you're individually producing on a daily basis. So I like seeing it be part of kind of a comprehensive set of campus systems and initiatives and incentives.
Okay, cool. Those all sound like really good parts of the project. Seems like it was probably a pretty beneficial, you know, contribution, not just to campus and to our students, but to you guys as well. So if students are, you know, hearing this episode and they're like, oh my gosh, I have to do something, plastic waste is a problem, and, you know, I really want to get involved, what would you recommend they do? And kind of thinking of like three levels. So maybe like personal contributions, things that they can do themselves, or things they can do around campus, maybe getting involved with initiatives like this. And then as kind of a global citizen, what they can advocate for.
Yeah. So let's start with the personal level. anyone who knows me knows that I harp a lot on turning off your water when you are not using it, and then turning off your lights when you leave a room. I mean, these are very easy things that you can do that really do have a big impact. And one thing that I hear often, as somebody who majors in sustainability studies, is I'm just one person. So then we fall into this tragedy of the commons problem, right? So if we say that we're just one person, well, there's 8 billion people out there that are just saying they're one person. So it really is not trivial to turn off your lights when you leave a room, or to maybe run your water at low, pressure. Just like you don't have to constantly use your water at high pressure. It will get the job done and you'll use less. And then on a campus level, Cameron and I are people who are we love getting involved. And I think that every student on UK's campus has this capacity and this love for the Commonwealth and also for UK. So I really challenge people to get out there and get involved with different groups. We have Student Sustainability Council, there's Green Thumb, there's SGA. There's a lot of different things that you can do to just get your experience in there. I'm going to do one little short plug for something that is going to be a sustainability-wide campus effort. But right now we're in the process of planning an Earth Day event on April 23rd. Notably, that is one day after Earth Day, but it just worked out easier with schedules. So I think that personally my view for this giant Earth Day event is that we'll get every single kind of department that's related to sustainability to come and into this one area where students can come and look and see at what they can do. So our plan right now is to involve the SSC, SGA, the Office of Sustainability, different departments. I would like departments to recognize that, if you're in the engineering department, there's a sustainability aspect to you. Same with the economics, same with social studies. So this Earth Day event, which will be April 23rd, we kind of want it to just be this giant macrocosm of sustainability efforts for students to walk around and say, oh, I can do this. If I have a reusable bag, I can take that to the grocery store, because one, it cuts down on plastics, and two, who likes carrying heavy plastic bags? I mean, they cut off my circulation every time they're on my arm. And these are just, so they have more integrity when you carry lots of stuff. But I think that this event can make it easy for students to recognize that there are little things that they can do throughout their life that will cut down on their impact.
Yeah, so we can maybe give more information about that event as it comes closer to the time for it. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, sure. There are lots of people who are very passionate about sustainability on campus. And if you're one of them, we'd love to hear from you. The Student Sustainability Council is a great group of people who help decide how to spend the environmental stewardship fee that all students pay into. So we will have applications for that later this semester. We'd love to get new ideas and new people on board. And I just think that on campus, there are a lot of ways to learn to be more sustainable through kind of the initiatives that we're talking about here. And they can go other places. When you enter the job force, you can bring those ideas to your employer. When you go home to your families, you can help them learn ways to be more sustainable. And I think it's about bringing people in, not excluding people. We can't have the mindset that I'm more sustainable than you. We just need to find ways that we can work more sustainably together. And I think UK is doing a really great job, and I'm sure that all you people out there are doing the same thing.
All right, that sounds great. We are going to finish up our interview in just a moment, and first we'll take a quick break. All right, so we are just wrapping up our interview, and we wanted to talk just a little bit more about some suggestions for what you can do if you're interested in making an impact on campus. Shane, did you have any contributions regarding that?
Oh man, so many. I would say our website, uky.edu/sustainability, is a great place to do a deep dive into, one, what's UK doing? We've tried to map it out. And then also, what can I be doing? And it's, we've tried to put something there in almost every aspect of campus life and in a wide variety of interest areas. So without kind of droning on and on about all the individual things, I'd say check out our website and let that lead you to some incredible opportunities that are going on campus.
All right, cool. So Would that also be the place that students would find more information about this project if they were interested in it, or would they email somebody?
Yeah, we're going to launch it on social media, but we will put a static page on UK's sustainability site that allows people to engage with this program if they don't have Instagram. I think Instagram is the sole platform right now that we're planning on.
Yeah, for that first round of input, and we can put on that static page a little form for people to fill out if they're not on Instagram.
Cool. Yeah, so it'll be on our website. It'll be under the hub and under campus campaigns.
Okay, cool. So did you guys have any additional thoughts or comments you wanted to make regarding this project or any of the work that you've been doing, or do we pretty much cover it?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about just two programs really fast within SGA that I think are related to sustainability. The first one is our Wildcat Wardrobe, which we just had a grand opening. It's very exciting. The Wildcat Wardrobe is in the basement of Whitehall right now. And to me, I see sustainability in this because what the Wildcat Wardrobe does for its students is if you have an interview coming up and you need some professional outfits, but you don't want to go to the mall and spend all that money on something that you might not wear again, Wildcat Wardrobe is there to serve you, and they will pick out you will be able to pick out an outfit and take it home for free. So that's really cool. And then another program that we have is Wild Cab, which everyone should get the Wild Cab app because this is basically it's just free Uber and Lyft for you. And that's another way to be sustainable on campus and save money while you're doing it, which we know as college kids is just absolutely ideal. So yeah, download Wild Cab, and then you can get free rides at nighttime, Thursday through Sunday. And I think that's a beautiful program as well.
Yeah, carpooling is always a good idea for the environment. Okay, cool. So thank you all for joining us today on this episode of Green Talks. Really enjoyed hearing from you, as we always do with any project that's been funded by the SSC. And as one last piece of information for our listeners, there's going to be a workshop happening next week on Tuesday, and it's going to be regarding sustainability, business, and entrepreneurship. So if any of those topics are of interest to you, it would be great if people could join us, and that's open to the public. So it's from 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, February 5th, and that's in Whitehall, room 233. I'm gonna get back to the music now, but remember to keep it locked and join us next week on Green Talks.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.